This is Sci-Fi Talk, the podcast on how sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and comics help us explore our humanity. This is Sci-Fi Talk Weekly for March 21st, 2024, my episode 91. I look around the internet for news on sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and comics. I'm taking a break from the news for a while, so my AI friends will handle it for me. Take it away, Axel.
Thanks, Tony. Here are the headlines. Dune kicks up sand at the box office, Star Wars Acolyte gets premiere date, a review of Civil War, and Star Wars villain passes away.
There is more sci-fi talk, so stay tuned.
Dune 2 reaches the 500 million plateau with solid numbers again this past weekend. According to Deadline, Dune is tracking 67% ahead of the first Dune. There will be a sequel, but no word as to when. More at Deadline. This is Adam reporting.
Disney Plus reveals the premiere date for Star Wars The Acolyte, which will be June 4th. It was created by Leslie Headland in a mystery thriller vein. A former Padawan reunites with her former master to solve a series of crimes, but find out there is more to it than that. Cast has Amanda Stenberg and Squid Game's Lee Young-jae. More at Deadline. This is Gloria reporting.
Deadline reviews Civil War by Alex Garland, who did the thought-provoking series, Dez. Valerie Complex writes, Civil War aims to hold a mirror up to a society spiraling out among civil war. In a time when flipping through the news or scrolling through social media can feel like peering into dystopia, Garland wants to crystallize these anxieties into a narrative form, offering a prophetic vision of America's future. However, despite its ambitious premise and high-caliber cast, the movie stands as a muddled reflection, ultimately rendering its cautionary tale less impactful than intended. Civil War opens amidst the mayhem of a divided nation, where the president is poised to address the nation on the American military's triumph over the secessionist western states of California and Texas. Amidst widespread disorder, New York City emerges as a primary battleground, morphed into a militarized zone, underscored by a palpable us-versus-them tension. More at Deadline. This is Harrison reporting.
Deadline reports that Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back actor Michael Culver has passed away. He was the ill-fated Captain Nita, who reported to Darth Vader in person to report the failure of tracking the Millennium Falcon. Vader accepted his apology. Sort of. For me, I liked his role in A Passage to India and on the great Jeremy Brett Sherlock Holmes series. He was 85. We are very sad to confirm the passing of our friend and client Michael Culver, said his agency, Alliance Agents. The actor passed away on February 27th, Alliance Agents added. More at Deadline. This is Bella reporting.
The Independent reports that original film, The Crow director, Alex Proyas, has spoken against the reboot film starring Bill Skarsgård. The 1994 film star Brandon Lee died during its filming. The Crow is not just a movie, close quote, Proyas wrote. Brandon Lee died making it, and it was finished as a testament to his lost brilliance and tragic loss. It is his legacy. That's how it should remain. More at The Independent. This is Connor reporting.
Phantom X, an Indian VFX major player working on such films as The Avengers to The Walking Dead franchise, has set to acquire a majority stake in Tippett Studio. Founded by pioneer Phil Tippett, the company is responsible for animation and visual effects. The Tippett name will remain and provide its high-quality services. Phil Tippett will remain, as will CEO Gary Mundell. The acquisition of Tippett by Phantom FX is driven by their strategic goal of establishing a strong presence in the highly competitive US and Hollywood markets, stated Gary Mundell. Although Indian VFX studios, like Phantom FX, contribute significantly to major streaming giants like Marvel and Netflix, there remains a perception that India primarily offers technical support rather than creative input. By partnering with Tippett, Phantom FX aims to challenge this stigma and demonstrate the innovative and artistic capabilities of Phantom FX in the global entertainment industry. This was reported in Deadline. This is Ruby reporting.
The NAACP Image Awards were recently held with these winners of interest. Outstanding performance by a youth in a series, special, television movie or limited series went to Lea Sava Jeffries from Percy Jackson and the Olympians. Fear the Walking Dead's Colman Domingo won for Outstanding Actor in a Motion Picture for Rustin, the supporting actor for The Color Purple. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse won for Outstanding Animated Motion Picture, an Outstanding Character Voice-Over Performance with Issa Rae taking home the honor. Transformers Rise of the Beasts won for Outstanding Original Score for TV and Film with Jon-Nick Bontemps winning. Outstanding Podcast for a Limited Series Short Form was Wakanda Forever, the official Black Panther podcast. More winners at Deadline. This is James reporting.
Deadline also reports that Venom 3 has a title and release date. It's called Venom The Last Dance. Look for it on October 25th. It was moved up from November 8th. Tom Hardy returns with Kelly Marcel directing. It will compete with Universal and Blumhouse release, The Wolfman. More at Deadline. This is Kirsten reporting.
After sitting out Scream 6 due to salary, Neve Campbell will return for Scream 7. The actor posted on Instagram that Sydney Prescott is coming back. She commented, "It's always been such a blast and an honor to get to play Sydney in the Scream movies. My appreciation for these films, and for what they have meant to me, has never waned. I'm very happy and proud to say I've been asked, in the most respectful way, to bring Sydney back to the screen, and I couldn't be more thrilled." Original writer for Scream Kevin Williamson will direct. More at Variety. This is Grace reporting. There is more sci-fi talk, so stay tuned.
The Daily Mail has a story on The Signal, a new Netflix sci-fi drama about an astronaut who goes missing after arriving from the International Space Station. The German series debuted at number 10 for the streamer S Top 10 list. A man spends searches for his missing astronaut wife and deals with becoming an instant single parent. The only clue, a red thread. When he pulls on it, his life collapses. The series has earned praise for its tear-jerking moments and mystery. More at the Daily Mail. This is Andrew reporting.
MovieWeb looks back on Farscape with one of its stars. Valerie Parker writes, "Farscape was a transitional piece of television that influenced the genre's evolution, showcasing heavy, complicated arcs ahead of its time." MovieWeb spoke to Ben Browder, who played the pop culture wisecracking astronaut, John Crichton. He commented on what is different now and then. "In science fiction, the superhero stuff is an extension of that. Science fiction, it went completely mainstream. It was the ghetto. It was the ghetto for actors. It was the ghetto for writers, you know. No one really paid attention. But there's a huge audience that loves genre, and I'm one of them. You know, I would watch the next iteration. I think we need another one. We don't need a reboot, but the next iteration of the story." More at MovieWeb. This is Klaus reporting.
Giant Freakin' Robot looks back on Stargate, the franchise. They cite that it should be bigger than it actually is. Jacob Van Gundy writes, "I thought the franchise was being elevated from a cult classic franchise to a respected science fiction series that could possibly even compete with the titans of the genre. Unfortunately, that goodwill has been consistently squandered, and now the series seems to be falling into obscurity. Like many fans, my first exposure to the franchise was the 1994 movie Stargate, which was far from a perfect first impression. While the movie had great visual effects for the time, and the connections between Egyptian mythology and science fiction were interesting, the characters, plot, and dialogue feel flat. It felt like a series with great potential that wasn't quite being realized." The general response was similarly mixed on Stargate, which was a box office hit, but failed to impress critics. Raking in over $196 million, the movie broke previous records for movies released during October. However, critics panned the movie's cliché and predictable plot, with the movie receiving mostly negative reviews. It's sitting at 54% on Rotten Tomatoes. SG-1 took the premise of the original movie and elevated it into a fantastic piece of genre television. SG-1 stood out as one of the pillars of the rapidly growing nerd culture of the late 90s. Growing up in that era, Stargate SG-1 felt omnipresent in nerdy circles. Everyone I knew who liked science fiction was talking about the show. Characters like Richard Dean Anderson's Jack O'Neill and Christopher Judge's Teal'c were referenced with the same reverence and importance as Han Solo or Spock. While it never had the market saturation of Star Trek and Star Wars, it always felt like the series was headed in that direction. The first spin-off to SG-1 was Stargate Atlantis, which failed to live up to the hype around SG-1 and never reached the highs of the first show, feeling like an inferior copy of the original. The next iteration, Stargate Universe, fared even worse, trying to create an edgier version of the universe. It not only failed to reach new audiences, but its darker vibe lost most of the Stargate fandom that was left. More at MovieWeb. This is Kayla reporting.
Here are two lists to finish this episode. FanSided has the 12 best Star Trek episodes of all time. Here are just three. Camila Savello writes, Number 12, Coming Home from Star Trek Discovery. Coming Home is a roller coaster of feelings, masterfully combining the series' complex themes of exploration, camaraderie, and the enduring human spirit. The crew of the Discovery is portrayed as a family, each member bringing their unique flavor to the narrative, making you laugh, cry, and cheer for them equally. Number 11, The Elysian Kingdom, Star Trek Strange New Worlds, the USS Enterprise, a beacon of futuristic technology and exploration, is magically transformed into a medieval kingdom straight out of a fairy tale. This episode masterfully blends humor, heart, and the art of letting go into one episode, making it not just an entertaining watch, but a testament to the series' ability to entertain viewers while giving us touching life lessons and keeping the Kleenex market going. Number 10, Chain of Command, Star Trek The Next Generation. Captain Picard is captured and subjected to a grueling test of wills against a Cardassian, not Kardashian, but equally awful, interrogator. Love that David Warner. And who can forget the iconic moment when Picard, with all the strength of a Starfleet captain, defies his captor with the powerful declaration, "There are four lights." This line isn't just a triumph for Picard, it's a victory shout for anyone who's ever stood up against tyranny. Comic Book Resources has the 10 best DC heroes not created by DC. Here are just a few with Ashley Land's comments. Mr. Majestic, created as basically the Superman of Jim Lee's Wildcats team, Mr. Majestic is the most powerful hero on his world. Originally from the planet Kara and born by the name of Majestros, the hero was once a powerful warlord. However, when a war broke out between his people and the Demonites, Majestic was stranded on Earth. Space Ghost, created as Hanna-Barbera's space-based superhero of the 1960s, Space Ghost is an intergalactic peacekeeper superhero who, along with Jace, Jan, and Blip, patrols space for threats. With foes like Molter, Creature King, and Zorak, the hero borrows from elements of Batman, Superman, and Green Lantern. The character is one of the best examples of a fairly run-of-the-mill Saturday morning cartoon character, finding better depth and success in a comic. Captain Atom, as the most powerful superhero under Charlton Comics, Captain Atom was among the heroes who joined the DCU after the Charlton acquisition. He soon became a recurring Justice League member, and has even led certain incarnations of the League, such as the Justice League Europe. The character is often defined as a man torn between his duty to his country and his role as a superhero. More at Fansided and CBR. This is Axel.
The clock is ticking on Sci-Fi Talk Plus. With free lifetime access and special features like creating your own playlist from over 1,000 episodes, plus exclusive videos. Episodes are commercial-free, uncut, and even special programs like Rewind and the Mix 100. And as I said, the best part, it's free. Click on the link in the show notes for that free lifetime access. But that special offer will expire May 1st, so act quickly. And that was Sci-Fi Talk Weekly for March 21st, 2024, my episode 91. Until next week, thanks for listening. I'm Tony Gelato.